Hello and welcome to Read It With Whiskey, the place to be if you are a sci-fi or fantasy reader. My name is Laura and I am your host. I am a reader, writer, and whiskey drinker here to share with you the person behind the page, the author. And I definitely did that intro way different than usual and it's totally throwing me off. Not doing that again. Anyway. Today's featured author is Kate Sheeran Swed. She is the author of Alter Ego. So let me tell you a little bit about Kate. Kate loves hot chocolate, plastic dinosaurs, and airplane tickets. She has trekked along the Inca Trail. She hiked on a glacier in Iceland. She's also climbed the ruins of Masada to watch the sunrise over the Dead Sea. So jealous. Kate currently lives in New York's Capital Region with her husband and son and two cats who are named after movie dogs, Benji and Beethoven. Dude, flashbacks from my childhood. And you guys, she is such an incredible author and she has so many books out there in the world for you to enjoy, but we're going to be talking about Alter Ego today. Hollywood days, vigilante nights. To the world, she's a star. To the League of Heroes who raised her, she's a liability. Mary's got a penchant for gadgets, a resume packed with criminal-busting credentials, and a reckless streak that tends to land her in trouble. So when a potential recruit blazes a trail through a local bar, literally, Mary blows off League protocol and whisks the girl off to headquarters. But Mary's heat-of-the-moment rebellion endangers her family when the recruit's father shows up, more blowtorch than human. He's got a vendetta against the League and powerful investors to back him up. Instead of letting Mary help, the League banishes her to a stint of camera courting under the guise of her celebrity secret identity. But Mary's got no intention of benching her grappling hooks. She chases her own leads through a web of secrets that threatens to unravel her own history with the League. As conspiracies pick her family apart, Mary must question everything she's been raised to believe and what it really means to be a hero before her fiery enemy sets his sights on the rest of the world. This book was so exciting. Talk about superheroes and creating a universe of superheroes. Let's dive in with Kate. Hello, Kate, and welcome to Read It With Whiskey. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yay! It's going to be a blast. And this is an interesting way that we came together because a lot of the times my authors reach out to me, but I actually found you randomly on Instagram. You had had a free book promo for Alter Ego, and I was like, I will grab every sci-fi freebie that I see. I read it. And I said, I have to talk to Kate on Read It With Whiskey. So I contacted you and I'm so happy. Yeah, I did. I loved it. And I'm so excited to talk to you all about it today. But before we dive into the book, I would love for you to tell our listeners, why did you decide to become a writer?
I was a slow to get started reader when I was a kid. So by the time I was in first grade, like I somehow hadn't learned my alphabet. And I'm not sure exactly when it all clicked in for me. I had some really great teachers and I was the kid at the desk, like reading the books under my desk by the time I was in fourth grade. And instead of giving me a hard time about that, my fourth grade teacher actually really encouraged me so much to just be reading more and giving me all these books. And I did tell her that I wanted to be an author. So it was, I'm one of those kids, like all the way back in fourth grade, I wanted to be an author. And of course, I went off and did other jobs and other things. And but I was always writing. And I like to say it's true. She does. She still checks in with me about my writing on Facebook. I guess that she had read us the story called The Silver Crown, and it's by Robert C. O'Brien. And it's kind of obscure now, but it really captured my imagination. It's like a fantasy story. It's very odd and kind of off kilter. It's a bit strange, but I think that book was one of the things that was like, I have to write stories like this and like capture people's hearts. So
that's what I love to do. That. Capture people's hearts. That is a great way to elaborate on what writing can be for people. Cause we affect them so deeply. I mean, no matter what the genre is, if people love your book, then you've done your job. You've done your job if people love your book. And I love that you have someone who's been like keeping up with you over the years. I bet that's been really helpful. I know I had a very influential teacher when I was in high school, and I sent her one of my first books I ever wrote, just kind of saying thank you, like you kind of inspired me through the past. And so that's cool that you still keep in touch. That's just awesome.
I can't imagine how my fourth grade teacher even remembers me after all of these years. She's just one of those teachers that's in her heart. That's in her bones. She remembers every student that ever walked through her classroom. She's beloved for a reason. But I mean, I had a story in an anthology several years ago that the publisher was kickstarting, and she goes on Facebook, "I backed your anthology." I mean, amazing, really. Teachers are amazing.
Oh, I love that. All right, so let's dive in. We're going to talk about Alter Ego. And this is book one of the League of Independent Operatives, and they call it Leo within the book. So tell us a little bit about what this series is about.
So Alter Ego and the League of Independent Operatives series, overall, it's a women-led team of superheroes. And that doesn't mean there are no men. There are plenty of men, but it is like women-focused. It's not an origin story. There are definitely some tucked in throughout the series, like that people get, you know, get to become superheroes that they weren't before. But when the story begins, they're already a team. They're already working together, sometimes dysfunctionally, but, you know, they already exist. And Mary is the main character of the series, although it is an ensemble cast, and I tell it through like several point of view narrators. Mary is the only one on the team who doesn't have traditional superpowers. She can't, you know, fly or anything like that. And so she's more of like Oliver Queen or Bruce Wayne, and her secret identity takes up a lot of her spotlight. So that's kind of her main thing, and at least in the first book, is that she has this heiress secret identity where she can get into places that other people can't. So that's Alter Ego, and the series kind of, takes us through that. Her character development.
I love a good superhero story, and I really fell in love with this story because, like you said, Mary doesn't have any specific superhero powers, and I like that she kind of struggles with that a little bit. She's like, oh, I'm not like the other superheroes. So that's always an entertaining thread to kind of read throughout the book. So what inspired you to write this story? Where did the motivation come from?
So I remember this really clearly because I remember going to see Captain America, the Winter Soldier, in the theater. And at that point, like by then I was a little slow to catch up. I think I'd seen Iron Man and then I saw the Avengers. At that point I was really enjoying it all. I had caught up on all the movies and I had like started watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all the early side stories. And I was really into it. And it's 2014. So I got to the point where this is going to be minor spoilers, I guess, if you haven't seen it or if you're not into all things Marvel, but it's been a few years. So in Winter Soldier, we find out that Hydra has actually infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. And it suddenly dawned on me like what Marvel was doing here and the huge story world that they were attempting to build. And like, that was, I think, because we saw it the week that the movie came out, and we had been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it was like the previous episode had like left off on a cliffhanger where they suddenly turned the plane around, and I'm going, okay, it led right into the film, and it was just genius, and I was obsessed, and I had been enjoying the films, but I really loved that. Only this was in the era of Marvel where, like, I think we had Black Widow, but there wasn't even Scarlet Witch. Falcon and War Machine, I think, were the most central people of color at that point. I was trying to think about it this morning, but I'm pretty sure they were the only ones. And Falcon had just showed up in that movie. And so I really wanted to write a story like that got me so excited about the adventure, but also the character development and the, like, developing characters across these multiple films and different avenues and the effect that the characters in those like main films were having on this TV show that I was watching. And even though the characters never intersected, I don't know. I loved the big story world. I loved the action and adventure of it, but I also really wanted to put women in it at all. I mean, would have been awesome, but I was like, no, women are going to be center stage. This is going to be what it's going to be. So that was sort of my main inspiration when I started working on it, and then it became its own thing. It's not, you know, it's not a carbon copy of the Avengers or anything like that, but it is definitely me going like, I want to see women in these roles. I want to see something a little different. So
yeah. Oh, that's exciting. I love that books and movies can inspire authors to create their own kind of dive into things. It's like all of the Disney fairy tale retellings. Like, you can retell a story in so many different ways. And you can do the same exact thing with sci-fi and superheroes. And I love the way that you did it, because it was just such a fun read. So, I mean, we're going to dive more into it. But there are quite a few books in this series. I read the prequel, Power Struggle. I believe that's what it's called. Yeah. And then I read Alter Ego like right after that, because I was like, well, I need to know what happens next. And you don't have to read the prequel to read book one. But I did like that I read it, because it kind of gave me some cues into what was going to happen. So how many books are in this series in total?
So I should just mention that the prequel as of right now is only available through my website. So you have to join my mailing list to get it. So you definitely do not have to read that one to start the series. I would never do that to people. but you can join my mailing list and get it. There's a prequel, and then there are 5 full-length novels in the series. There are also, I think there's one side story that I wrote at the end about Iyer, who's like the strong man in the team. But yeah, there are 5 full-length main novels in the series.
Oh, I love it. And so it's completed, right? There's not going to be any other. Okay. Oh, so
it's done.
This is interesting, because there's so many authors that I bring on the show where they're in the middle of their series, and so it hasn't finished up. And there's so many readers who wait until the series is done before they dive into a series. Like, I have a lot of people who are like, Laura, I'm going to read your trilogy, but not until book 3 is out, because I want to go boom, boom, boom. So for all the listeners out there, you can go and get all of these books right now. Read them right after the other. There is no waiting, which is amazing. And that's because you're working on other stories, which we'll get to later on. But I would love for you to tell us, like, what kind of person should be picking up this book? Who should read this book?
Well, like I said, so if you're interested in women-led team of Avengers, definitely that's one thing that I like to mention. And also, if you want to see those women with some kinds of romantic subplots that characters like Tony Stark and Oliver Queen get to have, I will say, you know, it's not quite as intense as Arrow got towards the end. I kind of, you know, they are subplots. These are not romance books. They are like sci-fi fantasy. But I kind of felt like, you know, the ladies should get their, you know, love interests in some, not everybody, but some people. So that's part of it. And just a universe that's actually going to span several series. So far I have 2 series that I've set in the story world, and the other is straight up space opera, but you don't have to like read this one before you read that, or read that before you read this. It's just, like I said, I'm very, very interested in these big story worlds that have like complicated kind of span the galaxy. So if that's something that interests you, you know, you won't finish the series feeling like it didn't wrap up. I mean, I'm going to tie up all the ends, but if you like series that have spin-offs, then this might be something for you.
Awesome. Yeah. Multiverse, or like universe type of roles, like the Avengers and Marvel and all that. I love it. Okay. So let's dive in a little bit deeper. We know the general concept of alter ego now. So let's talk a little bit about the characters. So there are 4 points of view, which you mentioned. We have Mary, Eloise, Nathan, and Minj. And so can you dive into each of those characters and maybe tell us a little bit about each of them?
Yeah. So Mary is very challenging, but she's one of my favorites because she's so different from me. She's reckless and outgoing and very like kind of willing to jump in. And Mary definitely sees the boundary between right and wrong as being very fluid, which is something that she will dive into and fall down deeper into it as the series goes on. I love the second book. That is one of my favorite books of the series. Whereas Nathan has very like black and white thinking of what is right and what is wrong. And so that is going to challenges their relationship throughout the series. And Eloise is probably more like me because she's like very responsible, very like kind of rigid when it starts. She's struggling to understand her powers. She has inherited this artifact from her mother. Her mother is still alive, but it was making her mother sick. So she took on the powers, and it's this knife, and she doesn't completely understand the power. So she's struggling with that, but she's also the leader of Leo. So she is struggling with, you know, how to lead these people and do they trust her? And there was a big rift that happened. So some other, you know, older superheroes left. So it's very intergenerational. She's struggling with that more than maybe than anyone else. And then Mange in this book is, he's the antagonist through most of the book.
Yeah. No, I love that.
Antagonist.
Yeah. And I like that you said multi-generational, because that comes into play. I mean, we have Eloise's mom, who was the leader of Leo, and she's passed on the torch to Eloise. And so now Eloise and Mary, they were really close friends, and now Eloise is kind of her boss. And I think that's brought up right in chapter one. Like, Mary is like my kind of a boss person here. And I love that in the first chapter, we can see that there already is some kind of character conflict between them, because that role has changed. They used to just be best friends. And now it's like, oh, Eloise is my boss kind of thing. So I like that that's brought into the story right away. And I love asking authors who their favorite character is. So if you had to pick, which character is your absolute favorite?
Okay, so I love writing Mary, and so she's probably my favorite character in this series, but I'm going to be really honest and say my favorite person to put on the page is Jeff Hayes. and he doesn't even have like a point of view. He's a side character, but he is really irreverent and he's very annoying, and I won't give him any spoilers about him, but I will find any excuse to put him on the page. Like, I'm trying to find a way to put him in my series right now because he's just ridiculous. And he brings a lot of humor. So, and I would say Nathan challenged me the most. Like, sometimes even now, like if I'm having trouble with a scene, I'll be like, this is such a Nathan scene because it's driving me nuts and I can't figure out his, like, what's going on in his head, which he didn't ask, but I answered anyway.
No, that's perfectly fine. Yeah. I think my favorite was Nathan, because I think I related to him the most, because he was not, like, right in the beginning of the book, you find out that he's a cop and he runs into Mary just by chance. And he isn't a part of that world. He's not a part of the superhero world. And I like that about him, because I can relate to him. I'm not part of a superhero world. So what would it be like to step into that? So I think that's why I liked him. And I liked where the story went with his relationship with the team and everybody. And I'm really excited to see what happens next. I try not to read the sequel or second book to a first book until I've done the interview, because otherwise I will definitely jump into spoiler territory. But I will say that Nathan is one of the ones where I'm like, I need to know what happens. Like, how does this evolve? So super fun. I love it.
Absolutely. He does have that outside perspective on what everything that's happening. And sometimes he can kind of speak for the audience in terms of like, what the heck is going on here? Why is this normal for you people?
Right? Exactly. So we saw those four points of view that I mentioned earlier. So do those four carry through the rest of the books, or do we see any different point of views come up? You don't have to say who, but kind of overview.
Yeah, sure. Mary, Nathan, and Eloise are consistent throughout. I don't think there's any book that doesn't have all of them in it. They're sort of the three main characters in the series. And then I don't think I ever go higher than six in a book, because that just becomes too much for me personally. I mean, I read epic fantasy and love multi-point of view. I mean, I'm a huge Robert Jordan fan. But for me, writing it and trying to keep track of everything, that is like, that's where I top out. But some other characters do get point of view. They take on like a subplot that'll last in a book, and then maybe they won't show up in the next one, but they'll be in the one after that. So, but you'll usually, if they get a point of view, you already know who they are. There might be a couple of exceptions, but
exciting.
But yes, so those three you definitely stick with them.
Awesome. Oh, good to know. Because I liked all of their points of view. So let's dive a little bit more into the powers. We talked about it. It's superheroes. So what kind of powers do we see within this story?
So Mary is, like I said, she doesn't have any superheroes. There's one guy on the team right when they start, Iyer, and he has, he's a former like Marine, and he has been involved in like a chemical weapons accident. So he has these superpowers, like super strength, and he's massive, just kind of a massive dude. And then Agnes is a scientist. So she studies enhanced abilities. And so she actually gave herself the enhanced abilities, and she can kind of manipulate molecules that are in the atmosphere. And she is among the more powerful people probably in their world. And then Jenna has fire powers. We haven't discussed Jenna, but she's kind of one of the catalysts for the story, because Mary brings her into the... Mary is tailing her, because she's showing fire powers and they're kind of trying to see what's going on with her. And then Mary saves her from a tough situation and just brings her to headquarters. And of course, Eloise is really not happy with her showing up at headquarters with this random fire-powered girl. So that's one of them. And some more powers show up as the series goes on. And her father is Mange, and he has the fire powers too. And by the end, it got a lot to juggle. It's like making up 14 different magic systems, which I didn't really think about until I got towards the end. But it was kind of a lot of fun to make them up.
Definitely. I know whenever I talk to people who write this type of book or fantasy where there's magic, you know, witches and wizards and stuff, it's fun to experiment and make your own magic system or power system within your world. And I'm excited because I'm going to start diving into more of the fantasy with my next book project. So I love being able to talk to people about it. It's just so much fun. But speaking of superpowers, I hope you saw this coming, but what superpower would you want to have if you could pick any?
Teleportation.
Yes.
100% teleportation. That would be mine.
I love it. Yeah, me too. I would. I used to be between like teleportation or flying or becoming invisible, but I think I said this on a different episode with superheroes also. If you can teleport, you can technically teleport yourself into the sky and like fall with style, right?
It's so true. That is such a good point. And you don't have to fly all the way across the Atlantic. You don't have to take a train across the country. You could just teleport and be anywhere.
Just, boop, you're there. I love it.
Absolutely. 100%.
So fun. Yeah, definitely takes the struggle out of traveling for sure. Okay. What is your favorite genre to read?
So I read across all genres, and so it might depend on the day, but in the end, I usually go back to science fiction. I love like the fun space opera type science fiction books. So I love the Expanse series. I love the Jesse Quack has a series, the Nancy Chronicles, which is amazing. They're just like fun adventures, heisty stuff in space. So that's what I keep going back to. But I do read. I read everything.
Yeah, me too. I can't stick with just one. And I know if I do, I get burnt out and then I'm like, okay, now I have to dive into something different. Or maybe you need a palate cleanser. So you go and get like the romantic comedy, just random little short book.
Historical romance. And a lot of times if I'm feeling like I need to connect more or like I need to get my character's emotions on the page more or something like that, which I can struggle with. A lot of times I will read romance to kind of get that in my brain a little bit. Romance writers are so good at those internal stories. They're amazing.
Oh, definitely. I love that. All right. So what's the most recent book that you read? What's the most recent that you just finished?
I just read Slow Horses. Mick Herron is the author, and that's actually a thriller. It's a spy thriller, which is not, that's probably my least read genre, but it is really, really well told. And there was a TV series on Apple that had Gary Oldman that we had watched, and I really enjoyed it. So I thought I'd read the book, and it was awesome. So it was really good.
Cool. I love it. Yeah, I got to throw a thriller in there every once in a while. Ironically, I actually had another book called Alter Ego here on Read It With Whiskey back at the very beginning before I had only committed to sci-fi and fantasy because that happened about a year and a half ago. So before I was doing all genres. And there was a book called Alter Ego by K.A. Masson. And it's a thriller mystery. This woman gets framed for a murder of a person. And so it was just, it's just funny that you bring that up because I'm like, oh, that was the other Alter Ego book I read. Too funny. All right. So I would love for you to tell us a little bit about the other series that you have. I know your website has everything laid out perfectly. Mm-hmm. I was just on there before the interview and everything is laid out, described, all that. So go ahead, tell us what you have already published and maybe some projects that you're working on in the future.
Sure. So my first trilogy was, it's the only one that's not behind me right now. It has, it's a novella trilogy. It's also space opera. It's assassins in space, but they're also retellings of like classics. So the first one is Great Expectations. It's called Parting Shadows. And it's a kind of retelling of Great Expectation, but it has Miss Havisham as an AI. And it's kind of from Estella's perspective more in the AI. And then the second one is Phantom of the Opera retelling. And then the third one is, I had to wrap everything up and I was kind of new to all this. So I kind of say it like waves to Treasure Island as it like passes by the plot. Cause it just has a couple references. So, you know, first series. And then I have a standalone young adult book called Bypass the Stars. That's science fiction. then the League of Independent Operatives. I have a couple short story collections. And my current series is the adult space opera series. It's called the Parse Galaxy series. The first book is Chaos Zone. And anyone who's read book two in the League of Independent Operative series or beyond that, you'll recognize some of the characters because they do like crossover. And yeah, crossover is a good word. I actually, maybe I should start using that because it's a spin-off, but you don't have to read Leo to read the space opera. You don't have to read the space opera to read Leo. It's kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy to the Avengers, if we want to continue the Marvel analogy. But they're in the same story world, and the third book just came out on November 15th.
So exciting. Yeah. All right. And any other future projects that are happening soon?
I'm working on the next one. I also have, I run a free serial, sci-fi story on my website. It took a brief hiatus earlier in the fall because I ended up moving to a new house, kind of like we didn't expect to buy a house this summer and then we did. So it was a little bit hectic and I had to write the next Parse Galaxy book. So it did do a little hiatus, but it should be back by now. And it's free. It's on my website. And my website has like new installments in theory every Friday.
Awesome. So exciting. All right. So this is Read It With Whiskey, and it wouldn't be Read It With Whiskey without talking a little bit about whiskey. So what is your favorite whiskey to drink?
I brought my bottle here. Okay. This might be not a purist response. I do like regular whiskey, but it is fall and it's apple cider time. And I love this Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey whiskey. It's so good in like a splash of mulled cider or something. And it probably is my favorite, although I don't drink it all year long. But it's delicious.
Oh, I love that. I love any kind of, I mean, I love all whiskey, but if there is a type of flavoring, it's either going to be the honey whiskey or like what I'm drinking right now is an apple flavored whiskey, especially because it's the fall. It's like the spiced apple. And as we're recording this, fall was like 2 days ago. So I am all about the spices right now, all about the flavored whiskey. So awesome. I love it.
It's so delicious. All right.
Yeah, exactly. So where can our listeners find you and find your books online to follow along with your journey?
So my books are available at all the major retailers, and they're an ebook and paperback. But I also sell them on my website from katesheeransweat.com, or I also have the missionbookshop.com is also, and that's as in like mission bookshop, like mission log thing, not like a mission of some other kind. Like it's not a religious mission. That is my website, katesheeransweat.com, and you can buy my books there. You can order signed copies when I have them in stock. You can get all my ebooks, a couple of AI narrated audiobooks, and my books are on Apple, Amazon, Kobo, all the usual places.
Awesome. Oh, so exciting. Well, I'm excited to see what happens next within this Leo series, and I'm going to be diving into book two very, very soon. So thank you so much, Kate, for being on the show. I've had such a good time chatting with you today.
It was great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
I did want to say a huge thank you to Kate because I read her book in ebook format and it was just by a whim. If you listen to the first bonus episode about reading challenges, hers was one of the books that I read in that reading challenge over the summer. So I didn't actually have a paperback copy, and usually I do when I bring on the authors to be guests on the show. And after we actually interviewed, Kate sent over not only book one, Alter Ego, but she sent me Anti-Hero, which is book two in the series. So you guys, I am diving in. I am so excited about this series and everything that Kate is. All of her books just sound incredible. She has so many different series and projects that she's working on that I know you guys have to follow along. So go visit her through the links in the description and just keep up with her because there are going to be some big things happening. All right, next week on Read It With Whiskey, we are going to be talking about book tracking systems. Do you track your books at all? Do you use Goodreads? Do you use a spreadsheet? Like, what do you do to actually track your books? Or do you even care? Some people don't, which is totally fine. I'm one of those who loves to track books. So I'm going to tell you all about what I do and some ideas that you could use in the future. So tune in next week. Talk to you then. You've been listening to an episode of Read It With Whiskey. I'm your host, Laura Gentinen, and I want to personally say thank you so much for listening. Your support of the podcast means so much to me, and I would love to get to know you. Hop on over to Instagram and follow us at Read It With Whiskey. Please chime in on this episode's post, share it on your social media and with your friends, and come back next time to hear more from self-published authors. I'll talk to you soon.